from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The state Supreme Court has refused to stop gays from marrying again. San Diego County's clerk contended Proposition 8, the voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage, remains state law even after the U.S. Supreme Court's decision. The initiative sponsors did not have the legal standing to appeal a lower court ruling that declared Prop 8 unconstitutional. But after a closed-door session, the state high court ruled 6-0 to turn down the request for a temporary hold or stay on same-sex marriages, as it did with a similar request last week. Attorney General Kamala Harris has insisted all 58 counties are required to perform same-sex marriages, quote, no exceptions. A political scandal in San Diego continues to expand this week as some of the women accusing San Diego Mayor Bob Filner of sexual harassment go into specific detail and hire lawyers. Sandhya Dirks of KPBS in San Diego has more.
The city of San Diego has been under a cloud of anonymous claims that the mayor sexually harassed and, worse, assaulted women he worked with. This week, women have begun to come forward to make those accusations directly. On Monday, the mayor's former communications director, Irene McCormack Jackson, announced she was filing suit. McCormack Jackson says she wasn't just a victim, she was a witness.
I saw him place his hands where they did not belong on numerous women. I was placed in the Filner headlock and moved around as a rag doll while he whispered sexual comments.
And on Tuesday, political consultant Laura Fink became the second woman to come forward. In 2005, when Filner was a congressman, Fink was on his staff. She says Filner patted her behind and made a crude joke at a crowded fundraiser. Fink says she's coming forward because she knows there are other women out there.
How many of them were afraid to come forward because of his position? One of the commonalities that I found, too, is that all of these women had one thing that they shared in common with Bob, and that was that he had some sort of power over them.
For his part, the mayor is refusing to resign. He admitted he, quote, intimidated women, saying, I need help. But he denies it was sexual harassment and says he's confident he will be cleared of any wrongdoing. For the California Report, I'm Sandhya Dirks in San Diego.
Tonight, public hearings begin in Hermosa Beach over whether to get into the oil business. For that to happen, local voters would have to approve. The California Report's L.A. Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas has the story.
Hermosa Beach initially okayed the venture 20 years ago. Voters stopped the project at the ballot box. Then came years of litigation. Earlier this year, the city reached a settlement with the oil driller, avoiding what Hermosa Beach Mayor Kit Bobko calls a potentially crippling $750 million court judgment for breach of contract.
You don't need to look any further than what's going on up in Mammoth Lakes or Stockton or any of these places where you have a debt or a judgment against the city to see what kind of catastrophic things result from that.
The deal opened the door for a Bakersfield company to pitch a revised drilling project that calls for sinking about 30 oil derricks in a neighborhood a few blocks from the beach. Oil would be extracted from reserves on land and beneath the ocean floor. The project requires voter approval. Proponents say it could generate $500 million in royalties over a 30-year period. Opponents worry about oil spills, air pollution, and ruining the aesthetics of their picturesque 1.5-square-mile beach town. Mayor Kit Bobko says the city is trying to remain neutral and give residents all the information they need to make a sound decision.
If you think that oil drilling is a bad idea for Hermosa Beach, you know, you need to convince your neighbors. If you think that we need the money and that we could have better streets or schools if the oil drilling went forward, then you need to convince your neighbors. But the important thing is that this be a civil discourse. The arguments don't become more persuasive when you yell them.
After a public review process that's expected to stretch well into next year, Hermosa Beach voters will decide whether or not to lift an 81-year-old ban on oil drilling. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
One of California's biggest creditors is itself. The state habitually shifts money from one pot to another, robbing Peter to pay Paul, especially during recessions. But now the economy is improving. And the California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow tells us the creditor agencies want their money back.
Raising taxes and slashing spending are never popular. So in bad budget years, the governor and top lawmakers are always looking for a way out. One way to fill in budget gaps is to borrow money from other government funds. The idea is to take extra money from, say, the Gambling Control Fund, use it to pay for broader government spending, and then repay that money at some point down the line. The political cost is relatively low, since the budget only borrows money from funds with extra cash. Governor Brown's finance director, Anna Matasantos.
The dollars that are borrowed are based on what funds have reserves in them and have dollars available after maintaining the level of program that the legislature has authorized.
But the totals add up. A report released earlier this month shows the state owes more than $670 million to various transportation funds, $611 million to employment development funds, and more than $400 million to the judicial branch. All told, California has a $4.6 billion tab out against itself. The practice has its critics. Curtis Child, the COO for California's Administrative Office of the Courts, says the state's judicial system felt the impact when budget crafters borrowed $350 million from its construction fund in 2011.
We certainly had to take a look at our projects, and we had to slow some projects down and then look at the long-term funding of those.
The judicial system was supposed to get $90 million back this year, but that payment has been delayed for another 2 years.
What these special funds have changed into is piggy banks for the general fund, into which the general fund can tap into either to take outright or at least borrow.
John Kupel, the president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, says if all these funds have all this extra money laying around, then maybe the fees that feed them are too high. He also worries that fees, which are approved with simple majority votes, are being used to supplement taxes, which require two-thirds support. Governor Brown's aggressive debt plan would pay most of these loans back by 2017. In fact, this year's budget repaid $184 million. But the spending plan also borrowed $500 million from cap-and-trade auctions. And that's now the largest outstanding fund loan on the state's books. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, July 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. The California Teachers Association, celebrating 150 years of advocating for all students, educators, and California's public schools and colleges. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.